teach tonight, Ian and I. Praise the Lord. We don't do this often, but I'm glad we're doing it tonight. We're excited about it. We want to thank our visitors for being here. We trust you feel the joy and the peace of Jesus. We're very glad you're here tonight. And at the end of the service, we get in a circle and we pray for one another. And if you need physical healing for any reason, we believe God's going to heal you tonight. He's already purchased it through Christ. Spiritual healing, whatever it might be, Jesus has already prepared the way and made a way for us. And so, also, before we get going, we want to tell you that some exciting things are going to be happening. This Sunday, March 12th, from 2 to 5 o'clock at the Crabtree Mall, and it says prayer, rest, worship, and you're going to be okay. And the popes, we don't say here come the pope, but the popes are going to be teaching there. And so let's hand some of these out. Take one and then get ready to hand it out, all right? Go ahead and pass it around. And
Just give me one of them. Maybe we can make
some more. Yeah, we can make some more up. Yeah, just give us one. Here we go. Thank you. All right. We have a lot of ground to cover tonight. We're going to talk about, we've been in the book of Proverbs now for probably a month and a half, 2 months. And so we're going to be looking at knowing God. Proverbs has a lot to say about a lot of subjects. And one of them is we can know the Lord. And, of course, it doesn't have the revelation the New Covenant does, but we'll fill in the blanks, obviously. So
I want to start with the verse because I've got it in the Passion, too. Yeah. Proverbs 1, chapter 1 and verse 7. Of course, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When she gets that one up. It's the beginning of knowledge, I'm sorry. Is it going to come up? There we go. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's not us. Say, that's not me.
It's not me.
Because we are wise in the Spirit.
Yes.
We are knowledgeable in the Word of the Lord, and we want more. We always want more.
Absolutely.
Listen to this in the Passion Translation. By giving ourselves to wisdom, we will embrace instruction, attain wise counsel, and we will increase our learning and understand the life purpose of wisdom. I like the way that is that it's said there. And then also, we cross the threshold of true knowledge when we live in obedient devotion to God. Stubborn know-it-alls will never stop to do this, for they scorn true wisdom and knowledge. That's not us either, okay? We're not stubborn know-it-alls because we want more knowledge of Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
All right. Okay, so it says, what three things does Proverbs reveal about knowing God? First of all, bullet point number one, if we prepare our hearts by prayer, lean over and tell your neighbor, you need to be a prayer warrior. If we prepare our hearts by prayer, His Spirit will quicken His Word to us. How many know we all need that? We all need it. Holy Spirit, breathe upon the Word. Open it to us. Let's look at those two scriptures, Proverbs 16, 1 and 3. It says, the preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So we prepare our heart for God to come and teach us. How many know that if we're open, He will teach us every day by His Word and through His Spirit, right? And then verse 3, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Boy, that's important. I remember when I went to seminary, that's what I did. That was one of the verses that was a key verse. You know, I said, Lord, I'm committing myself to really give my heart to the Word of God. They handed me a book when I got to the seminary, and they said, There are 1,500 scriptures in here. You are going to be tested on those by the time you get out of here in 3 years, and you got to be able to pass it. They said, we're going to give you 100 scriptures out of the 1,500, but you don't know which ones, you know. But you know what? Everybody was moaning. I wasn't moaning. I was pumped because I knew my lifeblood was going to be the Word of God. And if I was going to be successful in any way for the Lord, that I would need to memorize the Word and get it in my heart. And so it was a delight to me. And I remember when we had the final exam. It was my third year. You know, I waited until my third year. And everybody was in there. And you had 6 hours. 6 hours to get it done. I handed in my sheet within 1 hour. Everybody was roaring with laughter. There goes that dummy. He didn't know Jack. You know, I aced it.
Yeah. Right. So when we were first married, he used to quiz me all the time.
I was a wise guy. You know?
Now, look, I was the Christian, and I had been serving God all of my life, and he was the heathen. He was a heathen, okay? And he was also hedonistic, all about pleasure and, you know, his drinking and his carousing and so forth and vandalism. Can you believe it? Say, ooh, that's not good.
You don't like me, I guarantee.
Oh, that was... Yeah. So I'm glad I didn't know you. But so he would quiz me, and it would just get me so aggravated. I was in church all the time, but I was a dry stick. Anybody been a dry stick in your past? I mean, the Word of God was not taught like it should have been, even as I was growing up, because they didn't say, you need to memorize this, you need to keep it in your heart. The teaching was not... mostly not correct, okay? As we found out as we got into our late teens, and we would tell my mom, you know, we need to find another place so we can get fed more. Oh, no, you've been in this church since babies. And of course, Daddy never cared anything about God or religion and so forth. So Mother, you know, she would sit with us and pump the Word into us and talk, and we'd kind of dissect the little scriptures, and then we started keeping it in our heart. And that's the one that I used to quote to Dave all the time. He's going, oh, yeah, you say it all the time. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. But, you know, it was just a life lesson. But anyway, so he would quiz me all the time. More quiz me, the more aggravated I'd get, because I did not have the Word hidden in my heart. I didn't even know where to find it in the Scripture. I knew Scriptures, but that's why I said I was a dry stick, because I had not given myself to it. But when he went to seminary, he gave himself to that. And thank the Lord you did, because you're like a walking encyclopedia. He is.
He bailed me out.
Yeah, yeah. So where were you? Right there?
I think so. No, this one. That one.
Yeah, if we prepare our hearts by prayer, his Spirit will quicken his Word to us. Proverbs 16, verse 1 and 3. And I've got something to say about that one. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. What was the first scripture? Yeah, the preparations of the heart in man, and the answers of the tongue are from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weights the spirit. He weights, or he's weighty with it. That means he's balancing it. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. This to me means that God prepares all the plans in the heart and a righteous man and a woman, and it inspires the answer of his tongue or her tongue. So you get the inspiration, you know. This is what we used to say, you know, inform yourself, and then you will get the what? The heart message. Or you can say, I get the heart message, and then it goes up here, and I've got the understanding of it, because we know that we desire to know God in such an intimate way, and we're always learning, and we're always turning the Word of the Lord to others as well. My favorite scripture, we've got to read it because it's right close to there, Proverbs 16 and verse 7. Do you have it? When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Dave and I live by that. For some reason, we've told you before, over and over and over, every neighborhood we live in, you know, there's conflict. And I promise you, I'll stand on the Bible. It didn't come from us. But we have figured it out. It's the Spirit of the Lord. And they get stirred up. Yeah. And the enemy gets stirred up. And we came out of the house today. We're laughing our heads off. Here's this man across the street from us who is not very nice. We get along with him okay, but we hardly ever see them. And there he is on his front porch, always blowing the shofar at 5 o'clock every day. Go.
It's better than 5 in the morning.
Well, I have nothing against the shofar, but I'm like, oh, wow. Well, we've said it for years, and he actually sold us the house. He's a retired realtor now, but he doesn't get it, you know. He's got something of God, but no expression with it, shall we say, in the everyday living and walk of life. Because he'll be out on the street and he'll do his blower and do his leaves. And he blows all the leaves on our side of the street. And he's done it for years. So he doesn't just, why don't you just keep blowing them? And then we have this area, like a common area where it could be around the leaves and all that. But so I let that one go a long time ago because I'm like, I'm not getting into it with that with him. But we are a witness to those around us. And then they may get stirred up. How many have got people that get really stirred up on the job? Mm-hmm. But you're not doing anything. You know, you're just being you. So what are we going to do? We're going to be us. And we're going to live by this. When a man or a woman's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with us. And I love that scripture.
Praise God. All right, the next one. Next bullet point is the Lord is the source of wisdom and knowledge and how to apply both. I mean, no, it's not enough to know the word intellectually, but we need to be able to know how to apply the word. Can you say amen? And God will help us with that. He'll help us with that. And so let's look at Proverbs 2:6. Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. We need, tell your neighbor, you need both knowledge and understanding. You need to know what the word says, and you need to know how to apply that same word, right?
Let me say something right there. I've got a little addition here, and let's just say it out loud. But, you know, God is our source. We know that. And you've confessed him, and you live by him, and you live by the word. But here are four contrasting ways in knowing God. And here's one side of the world, and here we are, the believers of Jesus Christ. So say, the way of the wise. You say, the way of fools. All right, the way of life. The way of death. The way of death. The way above. And the way beneath. I was going to get y'all to say that. The way above.
Above.
And the way beneath. And then the way to heaven.
Way to heaven.
And the way to... Okay. So you feel that one in, that there's contrasting statements in life about knowing God and how to follow him. Many nations have hundreds and even millions of gods that they serve. There's only one God, and that name of that God is Jesus Christ. Amen. So we thank you, Lord, that we stand under the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay, this next one is pretty interesting. It's a scripture that many of you know, I'm sure. The one highlighted in yellow. God will lead us by his Spirit as we trust daily in him. How many know we don't trust him just weekly, but it's every day? Lean over, tell your neighbor, you got to trust him every day. Let's look at Proverbs 3:5-6. I'm going to make a comment on that one. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not into your own understanding. I mean, no, that takes grace, right? In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Now, I get a wild illustration. This is many years ago. And we're in New Orleans, and I get a telephone call from a young man that I vaguely remembered him. And he is crying on the other end of the phone. Pastor Dave! I said, yeah, who is this? And he told me. And he said, you know, he said, I've been so hesitant to call you. He said, you know, I married this, it was Michelle Dixon, remember her? I married Michelle and took her away from the church, and we're not going anywhere, and we just had a little baby girl 2 years ago, and now she's in the hospital, and it looks like the fever won't break, and I just don't know what to do. And he said, I cried out to God, please have mercy on me. And, I mean, oh, God hears this kind of prayer. Please have mercy on me, and what should I do? And he said he heard a voice say, call Pastor Dave Newell. So he calls me. Would you please come, you know? I know you probably hold it against me. I said, I have nothing against you at all. I said, I'm glad you called me. I said, unfortunately, I'm not glad under the circumstances, but yes, I will come. So I'm driving over there, and I'm saying, God, I don't know how. I mean, no, it's a good thing to feel helpless, even as a believer. I mean, I've been walking with the Lord at that time a long time, and yet I don't want to lean into my own understanding in anything. And so I'm crying out to God. I said, what am I supposed to do? I felt that just going in there and anointing this young baby and praying for her was not what God wanted, but I didn't know what he wanted to do. And so I parked the car. I said, before I go into the hospital, I want to get the mind of Jesus on this. And I said, Lord, how do you want to do this? And he said, pray in the spirit for a while. So I prayed in tongues for about 5-10 minutes. And then I listened in the Holy Spirit. And so I started to interpret what I had just said. And out of my mouth came the strangest words. You will not pray for this baby. I have put healing gifts in the Father. You are to go lead him back to Christ. Once he receives me afresh, he said, then I'm going to use him. I don't want you even touching the child. He said, you can put your hand on his back, and that's it. Yes, Lord. Boy, I wouldn't have done that in the natural, and I would have blown it. So we go into the hospital. I am so annoyed. I look at this guy, and I said, I have a word from God for you. The Lord has sent me here, not with a maybe or a possibility. I said, I have heard from God. Hear the word of God. And I gave him the word. He fell to his knees. He's crying, you know, crying out to God. Oh, God, please forgive me. I said, okay, he's heard you. He's heard you. Get up. And I put my hand on his chest, and I said, God has given you healing gifts for your daughter. And I said, I cannot put my hands on her, but I'm going to put my hand on your back, and that's all I can do. So he goes over there. He lays hands on her. He's crying. Oh, God, you know, lays hands on her. I have my hand on his back. We're both crying by this time. It was something. And the Lord says, you're done. So I gave him a hug, kissed this little girl on the cheek, left. Well, he called me a day or two later. She's healed. She's home. Praise God.
Wow. You know, in knowing God and hearing his voice for yourself, my mother heard it for us, and she translated it down to her girls and my brother because, you know, as I say, my dad was not serving the Lord. And many, many times the Lord would speak to her about things, and she would just obey and go and do them, you know, driving somebody or making a casserole. That's the way you did in the send a dozen eggs, you know, because we had chickens. It was all kind of things, but it was always right on time. I want to tell about knowing God. This is years and years ago, so Lord brought it to memory. I'm going to share it. And I had this recurring dream. So we were caught in a spiritual net of legalism, okay? And we were on staff at this church. We stayed loyal, and we honored. We did. But I kept having this recurring dream. We'd been there about 10 years, and I told Dave over and over, I had the dream again. I dreamed that we were going up an elevator. It's still so vivid this day. And it was about 20 floors high. There's nothing that's 24 floors high in New Orleans. Well, there is now, I think. They finally got a few buildings. But, you know, because the land is unstable. So I said, we're up in this penthouse. We go 20 floors up, and it's a penthouse. And then the whole space is wide open, like this, like if this auditorium just didn't have any chairs and it was just wide open space. And then suddenly it was Dave and I and the three boys. And they were kind of like in junior high school or something. They were a little younger. And the Lord says, I have an escape for you. I want you to look up. I looked up. Well, what is it? Oh, there was like a little trap door. And he said, here's the ladder. And suddenly a ladder appears. He said, I want you to climb up the ladder. And you throw back the escape door and go and stand out. And he said, you have come as far as you can. And you're at the top, like the penthouse, meaning we
as far as we could go.
As far as we could go. And I'm going to release you. And at that point, all five of us had parachutes on, and then we parachuted down, and then we walked away. And that stayed with me for so many years, and we still served loyally, but there came a time when the Lord released us, and we parachuted out of New Orleans into the upper part of Louisiana, and then we, you know, flew in the Spirit over here and then parachuted into North Carolina. So an amazing, amazing thing, because we knew God and we said, Lord, we know your words, we know the scriptures, but we're going to honor. And there's an honor that goes with knowing God. I want to give five examples of humility before honor. There's Joseph. Right. Love the story of Joseph. Gideon. Talk about a trial, huh?
Oh, wow.
Like, what are you talking about? I need all these men. No, I want you to reduce it. No, reduce it more. Reduce it more. Reduce it more. And then he said, I'm going to give you the victory. And he did. Daniel in the lion's den. He was not scared or afraid of the consequences. He even opened his windows praising his God. And he was humble, but he was also full of honor in the way that he knew God's voice. Hananiah. And also Jesus Christ. Talk about knowing God. I wrote down, a lifetime of dwelling in his presence will settle us and establish us in knowing him. A deep sense as he speaks to us. You know, it's a deep sense of the Holy Spirit that is dwelling in you, that speaks to you. And I want, I've got two or three examples. I want Diane Manassero to come up. Diane? Calling Diane. Aisle 2, Walmart shoppers. All right. Welcome. And we're glad you're back. She'd rather be here than in the hospital. So hallelujah. You look good. And I wanted you to share because, you know, you have an honor of serving God and you're very humble with it. But how you talk to God in conversation because you know him.
Okay. So I'll go back to my youth and the when I was 10, I came from a broken family. It's like both my brothers were sick. One was hit by a car. One was a juvenile diabetic. And so they cried with pain, needles. And so my sister and I were in between. She was the brave one. She got all the nursey genes. I got all the scaredy cat ones. And I can remember, well, I was raised Catholic Italian. So I go to church and I'd say, Jesus, you could do anything to me, okay, but please don't let me get sick, okay? So that's been my life mantra. I have my first primary doctor in 76 years. They are amazed. Okay, and I had my first steroid. I had my first antibiotic. I had my first colonoscopy. I had my first endoscopy and my first heart catheter.
And a sonogram.
And a sonogram. Okay, so all of that. Now, 1 month ago when I first passed out here, and the cardiologist said, Diane, you know, something bad. So when I went home, I said, Lord, if it's going to mess with my heart, I said, you better get my place ready. I said, because you know I'm not that brave. Okay, and anyway, so, oh yeah, so, I mean, it's like, in other words, I've probably been jabbed and moved around 25 times, but it's like when I went back in, I will tell you, it's like, if you thought I was bad here, it's like I was bad at home, but it's like, it was just me and God. I said, Lord, you know what, you're in charge of me. I said, I believe that you have me here for things to do. I said, so I know you're taking care of me. I said, if you want to wait me out, I'll be with you. Yeah, so I literally was crawling on. I would climb in my bed because it's like I would get overheated, and it would take only a minute, and then I would get cold, and it's like, so I kept going back, and I did, all I could think of, Lord, I need water. I need water. And it's like, I couldn't even go get it, okay? And then I said, okay, do I need to go to the emergency room? Do I need to call 911, Lord? And so he goes, no, you can drive. Okay, so anyway, yeah. It's like, yeah, that made my family and everybody else real happy, okay? Because, I mean, you cannot explain spiritual things from a physical point of view. But anyway, so it's like I drove myself to the hospital. It took me about 10 minutes to walk across the parking lot. And then I went in. They took care of me right away. And I don't know, from last month when I told God I better get my place ready, he just changed my whole attitude. Okay. But we've been having conversations because it's like, in other words, I thought I was okay. We think that he's going to fix everything. And he does. He just does it different ways, not always the way we want. Anyway, so when I went in the hospital, I was, I was anemic. It's like they couldn't figure out what to do with me because I was anemic, okay? The doctor said I need a aorta, new valve. Yeah, he said, Diane, you need a new valve. I said, oh, I literally like my car. And then it's like, I was bleeding. I needed 2 pints of blood. And it's like, they were trying to figure out what they needed to do first, okay, because there was conflict with anything with the heart and so all of that. But it's like I felt so weak. I just kissed the bed, and it's like I became one with it. And just me and God, okay? I know Pastor Anna and Pastor Dave and different people, some of you, wanted to come visit me, and I just said that.
You said you're alone with God.
I said I was alone with God, and the thing the Lord put on my heart, he said, Diane, I do not want you to receive any negative thoughts. Mm-hmm. No negative thoughts, okay? And I felt like he wrapped me in bubble wrap, okay? Because I thought, oh, they're going to come with the needles. And so I had my IVs changed about 6 or 7 times for different reasons. And it's like, and so about 25, my sister, she's amazed. She thinks that's a miracle. So do I. But anyway, the Lord just put me in this zone. No matter what they did, it's like I knew I was wrapped in his arms. And he goes, you know, he said, Diane, I couldn't love you. No matter what you do, I couldn't love you any more than I do right now. He said, and if you were bad, I couldn't love you any less. So it's like all week, it's like I just talked to him no matter what. Everybody that came in my room, it's like, I mean, I probably saw 25, 30 people with different tests and everything. And so every time they came in, I said, God bless you. So I said, okay, blessings on you, okay. And
so do you say that you know God?
Yes,
I do.
I know God. I mean, it's like, in other words, the way I'm talking, that is the way I talk to God. He taught me to do that from the time I was young. I got to be a teenager and stuff, and then I treated him like a dad. And it's almost like that he maybe didn't always know better. But it's like as the years went through, it's almost like he's the only one. I put my sister as a shield now. Pastor Ryan has met my sister. And so it's like she could be like my pit bull. And so it's like, anyway, so it's like I had different friends. Now, I would tell you this. I had different friends that it's like I put off talking to them because I knew it's in the kindness of their heart. They're going, oh, I'm so sorry. And it's almost like, oh, yeah, you know, when you get the colonoscopy and your skin's thin, a lot of times they peer. And it's like, I mean, so I thought it's almost like going to the dentist and then you tell your friend and then they tell you all the stories. So anyway, I said, I have to stop you right now. And she goes, did I offend you? I said, no, you have not offended me. I said, but the Lord put on my heart, I'm not to take anything negative. Okay, and what he showed me while she was talking, and I explained to her, he said, Diane, if you even listen to it because you're trying to be nice, okay, and let them say, even if you are repelling it. So I said to my friend, I said, while you are saying that to me, I said, I can feel the enemy trying to make me fearful, and I will not receive it. Okay, and so, yes. So anyway, so, yep, so I came home. I made any appointments I need to. It's like, I told my sister I heal really good. I don't. It's like I don't keep bruises. Well, so.
All right, we're gonna believe the Lord. Everybody put their hand on their heart. We're gonna believe for that new aortic valve for you.
And also,
yeah, we're not gonna be foolish about it. You've got to decide whether you're gonna have that surgery or not.
I already told the doctor that. It's like, in other words, whatever he thinks. Yeah. Okay. And it's like some of my friends said, well, you know, are you worried about that? I said, no. I said, the Lord showed me. I don't need to be worrying about things that I don't understand when I have experts all around me. Yeah. And so the other thing was that it's like they never did find out why I was bleeding, okay, which was causing me to pass out. Yeah. So it's almost like, so I have another appointment.
Well, the Lord's going to show them. But before that, we're going to be praying for you. Thank you so much for sharing. That was wonderful.
Praise God. I love her heart. Always have. Okay, so number two. How can we cultivate a deep personal understanding of the Lord? Because that's what the Holy Spirit is after, you know. First of all, is reverence comes first. Let's look at Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord. How many know when we talk about the fear of the Lord, that means respect, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So one of the signs that you've had that you've repented and you've turned your heart to Jesus is the fact that you have this fear of the Lord. You have a desire to put him first. You have a desire to please him and do what he asks you to do. So reverence, it comes first. And John 7:17 is a good one too. If anyone wills to do his will, Jesus is speaking here. Anyone wills to do whose will? The Father's. He shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. God called me into the ministry, very clearly called me into the ministry. I would not have called myself. If you're new, you didn't hear my story, I'll make it very brief. I feel the Holy Spirit's telling me to do this. I'm in summer school. It's 1962. Why are you there, Pastor Day? Because I was a goofball. And because they told me if I didn't come back and take 12 hours, that means two semesters in the summer, I could forget it. I need to go somewhere else. So I went ahead and went to both semesters, did all right. But this one day toward the end of that second term, the Holy Spirit was, I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit, but these thoughts were in my mind, why don't you take some time tonight and just talk to God about your future? Well, that's logical. But I've been running from the Lord, but he said, no, it's a good time. So I remember coming home. I was in a little one-room apartment, locked the door, turned the lights off. My eyes became accustomed to the dark. We had street lights coming in the windows. So then it was pretty light. And so I just got on my knees, and I just talked to God the way I knew to talk to him. I just said, Lord, I don't know if you're real or not. I said, you're real to my mom and dad. They love you. But I said, I don't know you. If you are real, I want to know you. Also, if you are real, please forgive me. I've been a chump. I've been stupid. I've been dumb. I've been a total jerk. So that's my prayer. And all of a sudden, Jesus walks in the room. No, I mean, Jesus walks in the room. And all of a sudden, I'm totally surrounded by love. Totally surrounded by this. It's dark, then it's light. I'm just totally surrounded by light. The the presence of Jesus coming into the room was so strong. It was like, I was like in the presence of a giant transformer. Just the air literally was crackling, was electric. Were you scared a little bit? Yeah, I mean, I was in awe. Awe is a good word. I didn't know what to expect. I had no knowledge. What is going on here? And God just chose to reveal himself to me like that. And then that love just started to grow more. He just started pouring his love into me more and more and more, to the point where I couldn't talk, but in my mind I'm going, if you don't turn this down, I'm a goner. I'm going to be checking out. I can't, my body is not, I can't take this. I'm thinking all this. And then finally, and just very slowly, it began to abate a little bit. But then this, it was like a laser beam went right into my mind. So I wouldn't doubt it at all. And it was like the Lord spoke, unspoken, but like a laser beam. And he said, I loved you and I love you and I've called you. Wow. I knew what the love was because, I mean, I was just cascaded by it. The calling, that was a different story. That would take me a few years to find out what that was.
For me, I'm not going to go into it. I'll go into it later. But as a little girl, you know, we lived in a very abusive home. And so we were always running and hiding from Daddy when he started all of his stuff. But my sister and I would go up to the upstairs attic room, and there by the window we would start praying to God, just in our little voices. You know, I can remember I was about 5 or 6, so Janie was about 7 or 8. And an angel would come to the window, and I can still see that, the reflection, but we didn't see a face. But it was like, you know how beautiful and bright the moon is right now? It was a beautiful circle with an aura around it. And then, you know, it was a visitation that we would have, and we would run often to there. But she and I both knew that God would be calling us into the ministry one day, which we, of course, didn't share with our daddy. We shared it with mother. And so, anyways, God, you know, did what he was going to do with me after I ran a little bit, and my sister ran a little bit, and we're both married ministers and serving the Lord. So, hallelujah. There should be a desire to press into God's presence by prayer and Bible study. Did we read that one?
No, it's good.
Proverbs 2, 3 through 5. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So we're to seek after that. And, of course, the silver speaks of redemption. His grace gives us entrance to knowing him. Matthew 13:11. I love to speak about grace. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Grace and favor are the same word, I believe, in Latin. I think I read that. Are pretty close. So if you're crying out, Lord, I just want you to have some grace. Give me some grace. Give me some favor. I love to interchange those two words. The more we listen to God's Spirit, the more sensitive we become to his voice. John 10, starting with verse 4. John 10. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You know the voice of the Lord. And 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. You know who you belong to and who you serve. Also 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Amen.
Amen. The next fill-in is remain teachable in learning his ways. Right? Let's look at Proverbs 12. Oh, the more we listen to God's Spirit, the more sensitive we become to his voice. Then remain teachable in learning his ways, Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Whoa. How can we parse that? No, I mean, it just, We get the we understand what that's saying. But I got to tell you this one church we pastored for a while up in northern Louisiana. I remember I had these two men, and they couldn't have been more opposite. We had a breakfast on a Saturday morning. One of the guys, I was challenging the group to go out and help me knock on some doors and witness for Christ, you know. I had a guy come up to me afterwards, an older guy, and he looked at me, and he just said, "I don't care for souls. I just want to go to heaven." I felt like sending him there, right? You know, that, you know, you selfish guy. But you know, how many know sometimes you just have to zip it because it doesn't accomplish a thing. Another man came up, and he said, "Pastor, I've been really moved by this." And he said, "Do you know my story?" I said, "I've heard a little bit about it." He said, "I served in World War II. He said, "I was a Marine." And he said, "I was captured by the Japanese, and I was involved in the Bataan Death March." And he said, "I survived the Bataan Death March, and I was in a prison camp. And after about a year or so, they put me on in the hold of a ship and sent me to Japan for slave labor." And he said, "A lot of people died. They never made it. They didn't give them hardly any water. People were going berserk." And he said, I was so glad I knew Jesus, because he said, "I felt like it was in the throes of hell itself." But he said, "God saw me through and survived it." And he said, "I came through. I'm not bitter. I've forgiven them all. And he said, "I even had a chance to speak to a couple of the Japanese soldiers after we got set free and released, and they were prisoners of war." And he's just a happy, joyful guy. And he didn't nurse any unforgiveness or anything. And, you know, he said, "I'll be glad to help you knock on doors," where this old other guy, "I just want to go to heaven." So the two different kind of people.
Yeah. Remember all the youth camps that we did, and we had this young man. It was so amazing. Some friends had brought him, and he was very negative because he was so sad with his life. His father had been very cruel to him. And then he said, "When I leave camp at the end of the week, I've got a gun hidden, and I'm going to kill him." And then he began to tell some of the friends his story. His father actually set him on fire. And he had all kind of scar burns, you know, underneath. It didn't affect his face, but it was from just a little bit lower than his neck. And then the other young man, and then when Dave and the other leaders found out about it, they really just poured into him the love of the Lord to know God's voice. But, you know, you've got to release and you've got to forgive, because this stuff is going to eat you up. On that Friday, he was water baptized. He was totally set free because he forgave, because he said, "I know God now. I know that he loves me, and I can go back and I can forgive my dad for all of his cruelty." It was an amazing story. I'm just shortening it up a little bit. So remain teachable. Ask God for prudence or discernment in making decisions. We're asking all the time. Are you? I think you are, because as you follow the Lord, you want him to tell you. We're human. He gives us a mind. He gives us things to do, and we have assignments in life, but also we want the discernment of the Lord to know what to do at a particular time, especially when you're handling people, especially when you're handling relatives. We had a major issue with our relatives on my daddy's side. I remember when Andrew was in college, and he calls us up, Mom, have y'all seen that? Oh, brother, where art thou? No, we hadn't seen that. He says, Mom, every one of your relatives is in it. Moonshiners. Even my uncle that lived in Yazoo City, and you know what his nickname was? And we never knew his name, Uncle Shine, from Moonshine. I mean, we had some rounders on my dad's side. That's a real history lesson, because our son Andrew said that, you know, he took the test, you know, for the DNA, and he said he traced it back that I'm 30% Jew. So I need to take that DNA test to make certain. But anyway, it's a long story connected with my dad, and I'll tell that later. So anyways, boy, talk about discernment. We need discernment in making decisions in life. And as we love the church, we prove and we know him. 1 John 3:14-19.
We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. All right. So, it says, as we love the church, we prove that we know him. So, let's do the last one. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's okay. It is his spirit that witnesses to us that we know him.
Yes. And this is what my mom did with Uncle Shine. He was the worst of my daddy's brothers. There were five boys. They were all raised even before the Depression. My dad was much older, like the grandfather, when I was born, because my dad was born in 1903. He was in Patton's army in Egypt. So, and then, you know, I'm the baby of the family, so mother was quite a lot younger than daddy. But anyway, these five brothers, and they were so mean, but they would come to the house, and they always wanted to eat all the good farm vegetables and so forth that mother and my sister and I would fix. But Uncle Shine was, he targeted my mom all the time. He was so cruel to her with his words, you know, going into the cabinet saying, oh, look, this isn't clean, and where'd you get this? And, you know, we didn't have a lot of nice things. But it went into years of this sarcastic treatment of Uncle Shine towards my mom. And then in his older age, mother, one of those, you know, crazy birthdays of his, and mother said, God spoke to me because I heard the Lord say it. I'm going to give him a Bible. And she gave him this Bible, which is like, he may not read it, but I'm going to give him one. The next time she sees him, they talked a little bit more. My dad was not around, and he was not serving the Lord yet. My dad was out in the field or something, and Uncle Shine had come to visit. So in less than 2 years later, she led him to the Lord.
Yeah.
Even before my father received the Lord when he was 86. So we had some crazy abusive mess going on in the Johnson family. But the Lord, in his spirit, it witnesses to us as we know him. Now, I want Sue and Janice to come up real quick, and y'all just take about 3 minutes each, because these are examples. You know, we're in partnership with Jesus. And Sue, if you could talk about the grace of the Lord in knowing his voice. Just give us an example.
Okay, I've got two. I've got an old one and a new one. Which one do you want? Okay, the old one. Years ago, my husband and I were living in North Dakota, and a job opportunity opened up for him in Wyoming. And so he went down and started to work, and I was home packing everything. And so one night I finished packing, and I sat down to pray, and I said, Lord, what do you have for me to do in Wyoming? And I thought, I heard the Lord say, you're going to be working in Christian radio. And I had no radio experience whatsoever. I was a stay-at-home mom at the time. And I thought, okay, I'm going to put that on the shelf. So I moved to Wyoming. And I kept thinking, Lord, did you really say that to me? As time went on, 3 years later, a new radio station came into town, and I applied, and I got the job. They said, 50 people have applied for this position, and what makes you want to apply? And I said, well, God spoke to me in prayer. So I was with the station for 10 years, and I was the station manager when I left, so... my new example is a couple months ago, around the first of the year, I was praying for people that want spouses. So I was calling in spouses. Okay, Lord, come on, bring them in. I'm calling them in. And so I'm calling them in, and all of a sudden, I get a picture of Ralph Kelly holding a baby. And I said, Lord, I'm praying for people that want spouses. And he said, call in a baby for Ralph and Becky. So so I know the Lord spoke that.
Well, actually know that he did, because it was Thrawn said a baby boy. So hallelujah. Amen. All right, Janice, I want you to give your wonderful example in life, because the more we listen to God's Spirit, the more sensitive we become to His voice. And you have become so sensitive to His voice. Tell us about that time.
So it was Thanksgiving Day, and I had my children. I was divorced, and I had no child support, no food stamps, nothing. And I always depended on the Lord for everything. And I lived that life so my children would learn that as well. So it was Thanksgiving Day. And I made the kids get up, and they're like, why, you know, we didn't have a turkey. We had food, but nothing like for Thanksgiving. So my son, he was 8 years old, and he said, Mom, we don't have any, why are we cleaning? We're not going to have company. We're not going to have a meal. We're not going to have food. I said, God's going to provide. So it was just a few minutes after that, we get a knock on the door. And I made him clean the house. And we were just all sitting there, and we get a knock on the door, and it's a brother. His name was Brother Rhodes, and he used to be a sheriff. And he came, and he had a big box. My son ran to the door. He said, Mom, it's Brother Rhodes. And I said, well, open the door. And so he had a big box of food. He had turkey. He had everything you could imagine, pie, everything. And my son looked at me, and he said, Mom, you knew that God was going to provide for us. And to this day, my son, he's not serving the Lord, but he's the only one, because my girls are. And I'm praying him in, and we talk, and he talks about having faith, and he talks about believing that God's going to provide for him and his family, and he does. So that was just living and believing and hearing God. And I knew God was going to provide, and I didn't walk in fear, and I knew that He was going to bless us.
Beautiful.
How beautiful, how wonderful. Knowing God's voice, and we all know God's voice. Let's stand up and read this confession together, okay? All right, we're ready to read together. Let's go. Dear Lord, I know Your voice. I respond to You leading me into all the areas of life. My ears are tuned to listen as You reveal everyday plans, as You map out every hour of my day. I press into Your presence with prayer and Bible study. I confess that You are the source of wisdom and knowledge. I will never stop learning of Your ways, for I trust in Jesus. Amen.
Praise God. All right, everybody, come on down. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. We'll form our circle down here.
I'm coming. Scooch it. Watch your foot. Yeah, you got it.